Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Radical Transformational Leadership with Dr. Monica Sharma, heard every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday, 6 a.m. Eastern. This is a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network production on the Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age platform. To learn more, go to DreamVision7Radio.com. Monica Sharma embodies the mindful and compassionate change agent the world needs now. In Radical Transformational Leadership, she offers us all a map for action and a clarion call to become the change we want to see. Monica Sharma's voice, based on experience and conviction, strengthens the case that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, and justice, rooted in the transformational power of human compassion. I invite you into this most powerful show with Dr. Monica Sharma.
Welcome to Dream Visions 7 Radio's Networks platform, Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Thank you, Deborah, for making this program a step towards uniting humanity, humankind, based on compassion, love, and what we deeply care about. I am the host, Dr. Monica Sharma. I have worked with radical transformational leaders, and you will be meeting both of them today. I shouldn't say both. I should say you will meet them both today, and there are many, many others. So basically, it's a conversation. And in this conversation, we are going to focus on one aspect that is so vital during the times we live in today, COVID-19 times. And the conversation is going to be around creating a world that you and I can create, creating a world without violence and abuse. And doing that by building agency for us to step up, and dignity for everyone. It's about mental health and well-being for everyone. And why is it so important today? Because COVID-19 has shown us that whether it is access to healthcare, whether it is our social and economic requirements, we have been able to see the flaws and cracks in our system and in the way that we think and work. You will meet two radical transformational leaders today. There are many others on this show. And they will speak about the root of radical, the root of what these issues are during COVID times and beyond. They will speak about transformation, which is altering systems and culture in order to create the results that we wish. Create the strategies and ensure shifts that generate results. Radical transformation. They are leaders. And what's the difference in this leadership? This leadership is not a hierarchical space. This leadership is about unfolding the speaker's own full potential. It's about them serving others through their own disciplines, through whatever work they do, to unfold that. So it's a creative process, unfold that as a creative process in others. So the issue really in mental health and well-being, as I see it, is an issue of really cultural shifts in today's world. Because there is so much othering, there is so much stigma that's an essential component of what we are going to talk about. I think there's another dimension that is vital for the work that we do. That dimension has to do with the processes that we've set up, the policies that we have on healthcare. It is a space where you and I have a choice, actually. You have a choice to carry on doing good little things, which we must do. Respond, give food during COVID times to those who do not have income-generating methods or, you know, processes that allow us to live a minimally decent life. And I would like to change the word minimally to adequate, because we have this minimalistic tendency and we say it's too expensive. But when we really look around, that's an attitude. That's not what life is really. When you look at what the money that's available. So yes, we must immediately respond with food, with healthcare, with jobs, with counseling, with tools and techniques that can support each other in a way that we can tide over the inevitable fear, but not generate panic. It's about care in the family. It's about self-care to begin with, actually. Care in the family, in the workplace, in society. And most important, it's zeroing in on what we need to shift culturally so that systems are more equitable, that there is no abuse, child abuse, violence at home, and that we live in a world that's violence-free, where we step up to make it that way. And the beauty of the work that we do is it's not just looking at problems and feeling heavy and burdened. That's essential. But how do we use these problems to build what we call a violence-free, caring world? So to me, this is vital. There are a couple of other things that we will talk about today. And that has to do with everyday people, everyday actions, everywhere. So now let me move to our speakers. Our first speaker, and I would like to actually introduce both of them first, and then go to the first speaker. So I'm going to request Dr. Srilatha Chuva to come in and share. And who is Srilatha? She is a professor, a work educator at the School of Social Work in the Tata Institute of Social Sciences in Mumbai, India. She has over 25 years of teaching and clinical practice experience. She cares deeply about manifesting the full potential and fairness in self and others. Her areas of expertise include mental health, disability, disaster management, and the introduction of mental health in those spaces, therapeutic interventions, and she has a PhD in psychiatric social work. I would then like to introduce Amma to you. And Amma, I forgot to say, Srilatha is born and lives in India. Amma was born and raised at the Esalen Institute, where she grew up really in the atmosphere of unfolding human potential. And Amma is a person that adds another dimension beyond just the unfolding of human potential in the new agey way. And I'm not saying Esalen Institute is new agey. This is not about them. This is about Amma. So yes, unfolding full human potential, but she sees the value of creating equitable social conditions for everyone to thrive. Equity, justice. And she became a therapist to support herself and to deepen her compassion. Her compassion, joy, and love of life. She's been working with families and particularly with the survivors of child sexual abuse over the past 15 years. And she has looked at that domain and integrated it into the world of coaching, into the world of coaching that is born out of practice. So we actually call her a practitioner coach, as we call Srilata the same thing, practitioner coach. And it is that they integrate the expertise of their discipline into a transdisciplinary space. And for the past 5 years, she's been working with these tools, radical, root of, transformational, it changes systems and patterns. Leadership, I take the responsibility to move forward. And basically, all of this, and now I say something for both Amma and Srilata, is that both of them use what is known worldwide as the conscious full spectrum model. And what that model does is that it, first of all, gets me in touch with who I really am, the essence of what I deeply care about. That's them. You will hear it. You will hear it. And they stand for values, and they are not like making values into a space of preaching. They make values into a space of embodying for themselves first, and what they deeply care about. Everybody on this radio program deeply cares about dignity for everyone. This radio program is about universal love, not just the love for our friends and family. So for me, I would like to actually invite our speakers to talk about their own journey. Srilata, would you like to tell us a little bit about how you have come to the space of serving through expertise?
Thank you, Monica. My journey started when I made the choice to study social work and when I specialized in psychiatric social work. When I was studying, I was not taught to look at disempowering systems. Systems and cultural norms were just there, and I wasn't taught to challenge them in the way I now know how to challenge them. So this left me uncomfortable. When I met you about, I guess about 8 years ago, I was, and I first attended your workshop, I was super thrilled because I knew that this was my calling and this was my path, because this work enabled me to ground myself and anchor myself in who I am, my universal values, notice systems and disempowering cultural practices that required me to act upon and produce, generate a result and be in action. And therefore, this was very powerful for me when I was able to not only learn the tools, learn the conscious full spectrum response model and the various radical transformational leadership tools, but I was able to apply them in my own personal life and see the change which resulted in personal transformation, and also apply them in my professional life. I now bring them into my personal life, my teaching, my research, and my community work.
Thank you, Srilata. You know, I know I've been working with you. I just want to draw out a couple of things that inspire me about you. You see, the sense of seeing that my education is fantastic, social work. I mean, I'm a student and I'm studying and I'm doing a PhD, and it's great. And yet there is a question that you have that wants you to go beyond. And I was reading this book last night on Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson. And he talks about the same piece. I want to highlight that, because till we have a sense of restlessness about what we really want to accomplish as results, we will not open the door to new learning. And to me, that's one of the issues about learning. We get stuck. And it is this side of who you are that is so valuable for us to learn from. Thank you so much. It's learning to serve, but it's learning to serve to transform the cultures that legitimize violence, for example, and show them in movies as heroes, for example. Thank you. Amma, I would like to know a little bit about your life's journey. I want everybody to hear about your life's journey.
Thank you, Monica. Having been raised at Esalen, I knew what it was like for children to be treated with respect and dignity, to be treated as equals, very young. And when I was six, I moved to Germany and lived there for 18 years. And in the Catholic school we went to, we were taught the golden rule to treat other people the way we want to be treated. And so when I first met you and you were, instead of it being the California or Esalen values and the Catholic values that I learned about universal values, that it's really when we ground our work in compassion, joy, love, justice, equity, and create well-being for all, rather than it being a cultural norm, that really spoke to me. And I became a therapist 20 years ago. I supported people who were struggling, and a lot of people that I was working with were sexually abused as children. And it was shocking to me that children would be sexually abused before the age of 18 by family members in their homes. And it broke my heart. And I felt like I really wanted to do something to shift that, to create a world free of violence, free of sexual violence. And I have been working at Survivors Healing Center for the last 15 years, where our mission is to create a world that is where sexual abuse no longer happens.
Thank you so much, Amma. And you will hear more from her after our break. Amma is a space almost, a person and a space that brings together expertise with the cultural changes we need, because as someone said, justice is love in public. And I think it was Mr. West. And Amma embodies that. Thank you, Amma. We will take a short break and we look forward to having you with us again after the break.
We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality, being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, culture, or of money. Monica's Counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity, sourcing our love.
Are you satisfied with the world as it is today? If you're not satisfied, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma, Srilatha Juba, and Sudarshan Rodriguez in September in Delhi, India. It's open to all changemakers wanting to generate equitable and sustainable results for well-being. Contact +91 931 044 2441. That's +91 931 044 2441. Or +91 998 708 2510. Go to fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu. That's fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu. Everyone has the potential to be a leader, a person who creates a new future through actions in society, at home, and at work. In this program, you'll discover pathways for unleashing our human potential to create new futures through strategic action. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma, Srilatha Juba, and Sudarshan Rodriguez in September in Delhi, India. Contact +91 931 044 2441. That's +91 931 044 2441 or +91 998 708 2510. Go to fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu. That's fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu. We need new leadership capacities to face the challenges of today's world, to think differently, design strategically, and act on principles with accountability and generate results. These new capacities must be able to align principles, purpose, and practice to build a better world. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma, Srilatha Juba, and Sudarshan Rodriguez in September in Delhi, India. Contact +91 931 044 2441. That's +91 931 044 2441 or +91 998 708 2510. Go to fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu. That's fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu.
Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic actions in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the book Radical Transformational Leadership by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda.
We are back to talk about how we are going to address the current issues that COVID-19 is throwing up in front of our face. And we will hear our speakers. And I want to focus the discussion on what I know they've really accomplished. And so maybe this time, Amma, why don't I turn to you and ask you, when you were designing and delivering change using the Conscious Full Spectrum model, what were the most significant contributions you made?
Thank you, Monica. Addressing mental health during this time of COVID is also an opportunity to address child sexual abuse. Before Radical Transformational Leadership, our center would put on events called the Walk to Stop the Silence and the Art of Healing, where our main focus was on the issue of child sexual abuse and the trauma. And we had about 100 to 300 participants each year. You taught us about recognizing the problem, but also looking at how we want to respond to the issue. And we've partnered with city government, musicians, artists, schools, parents, business owners in our county to address child sexual abuse. And we created our Caring for Kids event that was looking at what people, everyday people, can do to create safe spaces for young people and educate them or talk to them about their bodies and about saying when they don't like something and getting help and having a network of support so that they, and first, obviously, we don't want anyone to be sexually abused. And then if children are sexually abused, that they know how to ask for help or get support. And we also want adults to no longer be bystanders, but to be able to do something about it. And so that's what our shift was. And we also created the Imagine Healing, the Arts of Transformation event, where we brought in musicians and yoga teachers and artists and had an event where we included trauma-informed practices so to help teach people tools and practices so that they can self-regulate when they get triggered and transform space so that we can talk about an issue that most people want to turn away from a place where we're grounded in compassion. Dan Goleman writes about compassion, that it is seeing suffering and having the ability to do something about it. And we want to activate that space in people so that they can actually help create this world that is free of violence.
Thank you, Amma. Yeah, you know, what you have highlighted, and you've done so much, is to actually work towards building partnerships for results sourced in deepest values, sourced in a pattern-seeking mind that actually has the willingness to look at what's not working. And you have also looked at the tools and templates that allow us to move and to learn the discipline of having to change that. So I think you were addressing something that's very deep. You know, our inability to actually acknowledge things that do not match actually our values. But we are human, and your ability to invite people into a difficult space, fantastic. Chulada, I would like to ask you the same question, actually. What are the most significant contributions you have made? And you know, what were you addressing when you made them?
I'd like to focus on two aspects of my work. One is my current engagement during COVID-19. My colleagues and I were working on, with your guidance, Monica, are working on a module for teachers and for counselors and volunteers. And we, through these modules, we wish to shift systemic and cultural barriers that exclude some students to inclusive practices in schools based on embodying values, shift from exclusionary practices to equity and agency in relationship between teachers and students, in relationship between counselors and counselees and volunteers. And in the process of working on these modules, we found that I was able to simplify the complex constructs of stress so that participants could easily identify ways to do the same tasks differently. So we were able to look at, break them down into simple ways so that everybody can understand this, and we leave nobody out. The second aspect that I would like to focus on is the community mental health project that I work with another colleague on, where typically stigma and exclusionary practices dominate without taking, and we shifted that from agency and participation of people living with mental illness, from lack of services to making services available. So when we design all these, when we designed our services using the Consciousful Spectrum model, we were able to notice that we were able to identify people who think like us, who embody values like us, and resonate with what we want to do. And this got us to in touch with many professionals, whether it's a psychiatrist or a pharmacist, who thought in a similar manner, who embodied values of compassion and care, and were able to come together to initiate this mental health service in the community, which then was accessible for most people living in the community. And this also ensured that people in the community recovered from mental illness. This also demystified stigma about mental illness to a large extent in the community.
Thank you so much, Srinatha. You know, there you've brought up two examples. They are interrelated, so I'll draw from both because it's a different space. I mean, the two spaces are different. So to me, the example you brought up about the self-care module for teachers, which is based on what's happening with school children, even though they are not in schools, what's happening with parents, what's happening with teachers. So teachers are stressed. And you brought out how we could look at self-care as an essential entry point for caring for others. And what was amazing for me in the way that you and Gayatri crafted this is the way in which you asked teachers about how they suffer at home themselves, and that those are based on the same cultural exclusions that are present in schools, because some children do not have, whether it's India or the US, the same access to education as others do. So I think the equity lens that was stimulated is so valuable because you did the same thing in the community-based project. What you did was actually bring together teaching of PhD students, the research that you do, the field practice areas that they have, bring in the same approach. So to me, this is a very valuable space. Now I'll ask both of you a different question. You've actually said it, but I want it clear for us as listeners, all of us who are listening to you, including me. So this time I'll begin with Srilata. Srilata, what are the shifts that your work created in patterns and norms that are cultural in the educational process? What did you shift through this?
Okay, I like answering that. So in my teaching, I was able to shift from teaching as mere transfer of knowledge and skills to teaching as embodying values by anchoring myself in my universal values, exploring and shifting unworkable systems and cultural norms that both the students and I deal with, and identify ways of generating results by devising strategies, whether it's in my classroom or whether it is in fieldwork. In the communities, I was able to shift from using hierarchy and knowledge as a divisive space, to agency, oneness, and unity with respect for all, irrespective of age, gender, class, caste, religion, etc.
So, Srilata, the two dimensions of what you're saying, one is truly revisiting higher education or teaching, which is very much a transfer of knowledge and skills, to really anchoring ourselves, you and the student and I and everyone listening, in what we deeply care about. And we call it universal values because the word universal means they apply to everyone everywhere, not just to the people close to us emotionally or our club of friends. So to me, that approach of being able to look at teaching beyond the transfer of knowledge and skills is truly pathbreaking. And I think the other thing that maybe a lot of listeners don't know is that when you talk of shifting from hierarchy in the community, it was so clear from both your educational perspective as well as who the NGOs worked with, that you lived that value of dignity and equity for all. Getting medications for people, having people from different religions involved without hatred, working together with compassion, transcending the gender barriers that we have, the sexism that we have, including people from everywhere, women, men, from the LGBTQ community, everybody. To me, it is that practice that actually is the one that was put in place. Amma, I would actually like to ask you the same thing. What results, what were the challenges, and how did your work actually shift norms and patterns?
Well, we're creating...
What were those challenges also? Yeah.
Creating the events that are trauma-informed was one of the big changes. Then Siegel talks about the amygdala hijack, and you teach that in your classes as well. And so being able to have events where people are deeply connected to themselves and what they deeply care about and able to respond to trauma differently is one shift. We partner differently with schools and Justice Department and law enforcement, and created, are in the process of creating systems from being trauma-inducing to being trauma-informed. We want the systems to create shared safety, where we put survivors at the center. Actually, where we put the well-being of all people at the center. And another initiative is the health in all policies that I believe Chevra might be talking about later. And then also shifting from people not knowing what to do to having the tools and processes to be able to respond compassionately. Like I said earlier, the challenge is that most people want to turn away from this issue, and being able to approach people from that very heart-centered space of being able to see the problem and know that when we are centered in what we deeply care about, most people deeply care about the well-being of children, and being able to respond from that place of care rather than the place of shock or terror is what shifts how but being able to connect with yourself deeply and then respond and have the tools to talk to children and have the tools to not be a bystander and trust law enforcement that they will and child protective services that they really are working with the best interest of the child and the family. All right, got your message.
I want to edit out a couple of things, but maybe I do it differently. Amma, thank you for bringing up the crucial processes that lead to enduring and equitable change. The first that you brought up, you know, that we want to deny what is uncomfortable, and that you have open spaces to make it possible for people to look at that. Then you brought in from, trauma-induced to trauma-informed. I want to take it a step further than just that. And I know you do, but you just said it in a different way. So when we other people, when we practice knowingly or unknowingly, practice designing or practice actions that are disempowering, we actually create or we generate trauma. And I think that that is where the current conversation of ending racism, creating a post-privileged world, ending casteism in India, classism, and creating a post-privileged world requires me to have strategies that inform trauma, services that are trauma-informed, but it requires to put in place strategies of justice, equity, and well-being. Because without that, we are not going to be able to turn the larger issues of exploitation, of diminishing others. And the opposite of poverty is not wealth. The opposite of poverty is justice. Similarly, to me, to address trauma, we need to enter the space, as you have done, Amma, having events, but in between those events, cultivating the space of deep learning. That's what you do, events and cultivating the space of deep learning. Similar for Srilata, events and cultivating the space of deep learning for action. So I think that what you've brought up in terms of the challenges we face are actually global. We always deny what's most uncomfortable. We tend to address problems only and have events as standalone issues. They are not standalone points. They are the entry points for a continuous learning, lifelong learning, related to unfolding our full human potential with compassion, dignity, and equity for all. We will stop again and we will come back to just share our concluding thoughts. And we hope that you are enjoying this, reflecting, and we will connect soon. Thank you.
Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic actions in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda. We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality, being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, culture, or of money. Monica's counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity, sourcing our love.
Are you satisfied with the world as it is today? If you're not satisfied, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma, Srilatha Juba, and Sudarshan Rodriguez in September in Delhi, India. It's open to all changemakers wanting to generate equitable and sustainable results for well-being. Contact plus 91-931-044-2441. That's plus 91-931-044-2441. Or plus 91-998-708-2510. Go to fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu. That's fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu. Everyone has the potential to be a leader, a person who creates a new future through actions in society, at home, and at work. In this program, you'll discover pathways for unleashing our human potential to create new futures through strategic action. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma, Srilatha Juba, and Sudarshan Rodriguez in September in Delhi, India. Contact plus 91-931-044-2441. That's plus 91-931-044-2441. Or plus 91-998-708-2510. Go to fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu. That's fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu. We need new leadership capacities to face the challenges of today's world, to think differently, design strategically, and act on principles with accountability and generate results. These new capacities must be able to align principles, purpose, and practice to build a better world. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma, Srilatha Juba, and Sudarshan Rodriguez in September in Delhi, India. Contact plus 91-931-044-2441. That's plus 91-931-044-2441. Or plus 91-998-708-2510. Go to fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu. That's fullpotential.workshop at tiss.edu.
Thank you for joining us again. And we are here with you, Srilatha, Amma, and I. And I have been reflecting on many of the points that Amma and Srilatha have made. I wanted Amma to sort of give you an opportunity to summarize two things that are interrelated. What do you as an individual professional do differently because of this work? What shifted for you? And second, what is it that you would like to leave behind as points for reflection? We just take the first question first, and then we do the summary afterwards. What have you shifted in your work, Amma, because of this?
I learned to enroll participants differently, and we have a much larger team than we had 5 years ago because everyone is seeing their role in becoming a part of the paradigm shift from violence as a norm to a world that is free of violence. We cultivated the spaces of deep learning for action with volunteers, colleagues, clients, business owners, and everyday people. And we want to invite you to become part of this paradigm shift as well.
Amma, so what you're inviting us into is huge, that every listener becomes part of this fantastic partnership, which is made possible. I think the one takeaway for me at this point, before you summarize, is what you did was to generate non-polarized spaces, that you use tools and techniques instead of pointing fingers and judging people to create spaces of opening, which calls out truth to power, whether that's cultural power in a family or it's power in the system or whatever. So this openness, the willingness for people to explore themselves in order to, not just explore themselves for themselves, in order to transform cultural norms and systems, irrespective of what people have to say about us, and do something outstanding. Thank you, Amma. But I want to ask Srilatha that question too. What do you do differently, Srilatha, because of this work? I know you said it, but I just wanted you to repeat it in a way that each of us listening can hear it one more time, because it was so vital.
I learned that universal values underpin everything that I do in my teaching, where students and I are one, and we co-create our knowledge and action simultaneously while being anchored in our universal values. And that is a key takeaway, because when I do that, everything else changes for me. My classroom transforms. I also learned that when the strengths of people are based on universal values, that becomes the foundational factor for me to solve problems and interrupt disempowering practices. And that's what generates the result.
Thank you, Srilatha. I think that the two points you raise is what also, is a perspective, what also is a way of work for me. Not that I've reached where I wish to reach, but to me, the journey is as important. This work is about what I do at home, in my community, in society, and indeed in my workplace. And that's what you integrated for us, the principle that's so vital. I think we are coming to the closing of our radio program today. But before that, I'd like to have Amma and Srilatha speak. So Amma, about the summary takeaways that you would like to emphasize for everybody. And you see, it's the closure of the program, but it's the beginning of looking at well-being differently, equity differently. Amma, what would you like us all to take away from this session?
I would like to invite you all to stop being a bystander, to learn about the issue of child sexual abuse and how to intervene and respond responsibly. I would like you to create safe spaces for yourself and others to heal from trauma, and together we can create the paradigm shift. And I would like you to create safe spaces for children and youth to authentically share and be supported so that their full potential can be unfolded, or they can unfold their full potential.
Thank you so much, Amma. And before I sort of highlight the points you've raised, which are so vital, Srilatha, what would you like to say?
When I anchor myself in my universal values, I'm able to co-create and design for results. And when I do that, we all create opportunities to walk our talk. I can walk my talk and be in action. And when I practice the RTL tools and templates, every day, I foster personal transformation that contributes to professional transformation and results at my home, my workplace, and my community projects. So I invite you all to reflect on ways we can transform our everyday actions so that we anchor ourselves in our universal values and generate results in everyday life by interrupting unworkable patterns in life.
Thank you so much, Sridatta, and thank you so much, Amma. I think we are left in a space today of reflecting whether mental health and well-being can become a people's movement. And this reminds me of 50 years ago when we were working on climate change and we had tools and techniques and we asked ourselves, how can we demystify this place and make it a people's movement? I think we are on a similar threshold today because of the COVID epidemic. And we can really think through strategies that will be different in future. It's not our last epidemic. And we need to cultivate spaces where child abuse is history, where violence is history, and where we create a thriving, strong world where we are courageous enough to alter what's not working. Thank you so much, Amma, and thank you so much, Sridatta, for your sharing.
Thank you for the work you do and inspiring us.
Thank you, Monica.
I just spoke to you about people's movement and effective programs. And both Amma and Sridatta have invited you to participate. They've invited you to participate with some foundational principles. First, these spaces require us to connect to who we are. It doesn't matter what service we provide. It doesn't matter what segment we work in. It's the beginning of whole systems change. It's the beginning, because then to actually change it, we need to shift systems. We need to shift culture. And this people's movement, everybody can participate in because of the way Amma and Sridatta have demystified the space. So what did they say? They said the first space that we must work with is the space where we get in touch with who we are as essence. And Amma quoted Daniel Goleman, "We know that compassion as a space within us exists when we look at it. It's an innate space of being open, of opening our hearts where we are called to act." The Sanskrit word for this is karuna. And the reason that this work is working through Amma and through Sridatta and hundreds of other people is because we tap into the space that everybody has. The second thing we heard from both Amma and Sridatta is the ability to change what we think will never change, culture and systems. And that ability requires me to leverage change, enter from leverage points, not from an ideological perspective, but willing to alter my opinion based on the universal values I stand for. There is another thing they said. For it to be a people's movement, and we call it the conscious full spectrum response, we need to do something. We need to speak. We need to speak, not hiding, being shameful about what truly is not okay. Child abuse, for example, or the fact that violence increased worldwide in homes during COVID times. And that violence was present even before. So for me, they have looked at moving from scattered, simple projects, they're moving towards what I call whole systems response. For example, for Sridatta, she not only has her teaching programs that way for PhD students, she guides research with that kind of lens. She's able to reorganize field work to deepen it and operate from the same space. The NGOs that work with her for the field work in the slum areas, what we call low-income areas of Mumbai, it's the same approach. Then it is whole systems change. They've used the templates and tools of radical transformational leadership in every one of those places seamlessly. Therefore, we have results. We have results that more people are cared for. We have results like curriculum has changed. We have actual numbers about that. We also have results that show that the police in Mumbai, because of having gone through this process, are responding to mentally ill people differently. So the question is, not just for an event, because an event is like a very important space, but it's like a point of accentuation. It's what Srilata and Amar do between the events, bringing these stakeholders together. So the attitude of police have changed completely in MWARD in the spaces that Chitra and Srilata work. Chitra is from the NGO. They have moved from partial responses, which is really lots of projects that are scattered but do not move in the same direction. They've moved from partial responses to what I call conscious full spectrum responses. They've moved from scatter to creating the ecosystem for change, enduring change based on universal values. They have invited you into the space where everyday actions, everywhere, by everybody, is important. Because too often we are told, the system is so big and I'm so small. What can I do? My project is so small and the system is so big. What can I do? Firstly, I'm not small. Because to me, it's not how much formal power you have, it's how much influence you have. You have influence at home with your family, with your friends, with community, and that's how narratives change. And then you've invited yourself into the space, if you care about it, by not denying anything, by not having the courage to look at reality as it is. And the fact that we want to create a world without violence, a paradigm shift from racism, casteism, classism, sexism, can carry on the stigma and the discrimination we have to a world that is a post-privileged world. And it's a person, Bill Kagi, who said this, you know, creating a post-privileged world. Thank you so much.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.